Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. Parsha Shalach is an extremely interesting sedra, and it's a very complex sedra. On the surface, there are so many questions that don't seem to have good answers, and that's why what I've set out to do in a good part of my life since I'm a kid, and when I asked a lot of Rebbe's questions and they didn't have an answer, I set out to. It didn't change my belief, of course, but the problem is I was looking to see if I could come up with answers on my own. Sometimes you find far-flung answers that do answer questions which are very difficult. And in this parasha is one of those parashas. Many questions have been asked, and for instance, why did Klal Yisrael have to be destined for the sin of the 10 spies? We can understand certainly that the 10 spies deserve the death penalty that they certainly receive, but for Klal Yisrael, for believing their leaders, perhaps it was over the top, and perhaps they should have been, let's face it. I mean, why should just for a few people? By the Egel, there were thousands, and it was seemingly a much worse crime, but now this is only 10 people, and everybody's reacting and crying, and of course we have this idea of that for these sins, and only Yeshua and Kalev were on the other side of the fence, and nevertheless, they all have to go down swinging, so to speak. They all are destined to perish in the Midbar, those 20 years and over. There's other questions, of course, what was Parshas Tzitzis doing in this Parsha? Another thing is, what in the world suddenly, after the whole Maaseh Meraglim, we're dealing with a couple of Karbonos that seem totally out of place, why are they over here? And the truth of the matter is, they all fit in. And the reason I chose to call this the topic here is focus on Kalev ben Yefuna, that Ruach HaCheres Imo, because this is the crux of the matter. He was willing to put his life on the line, as we see. And of course, the truth of the matter is, when they cried, Vayivko Amba Laila Hu, and they cried and they believed what the Meraglim said, and certainly you would think that, all right, so they deserve to be penalized. But that is not what they ended up dying in the Midbar for. Certainly would have to be more, something more severe. And the Chumash tells us exactly what it is. Vayomru, what happened after Kalev begins to say, they think that perhaps he is saying something, they're not sure what he's going to say. After all, the fact remains, what the Meraglim said was all true. Everything that they said, the Gemara even points out that the only mistake that they made, the only thing that really was a lie that they had no right to say, is that when they said, Vanihi b'einenu kacha govim, that we saw, we appeared in their eyes as grasshoppers, one could never say what somebody else sees through somebody else's eyes. We cannot project something through somebody else's eyes and speculate what he sees through his eyes. That's impossible. And that's the only lie that the Gemara could come up with that the Meraglim did. And that is the problem. What does mean Ruach HaCheres Imo? And also, when it says Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, what do you mean? We've been calling him Yehoshua since Parsha Shemos, when we see from the beginning of Shemos, not from the beginning of Shemos, but when Yeshua comes onto the scene for the first time, the Torah is only calling him Yeshua till now. And why suddenly are we saying Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea ben Nun Yehoshua? He always called him Yehoshua. And so what the Abarbanel, just to point out on a very minor point over here, is that was just Moshe, the way he called him. He had a pet name for him. He called him Yehoshua, even though his name was still Hoshea. But at this juncture, he thought that he would permanently change his name to Yehoshua, that Hashem Yehoshiach HaMi'atzaz Rishoyim. But that's not necessarily the case. The parasha last week ended off with something else more important, when it says that the people, the Shivim Nishazikanim, by Yisnabu Velo Yosofu Eldor Umedot, and the others, and they're saying, what were they prophesying? And it said that Moshe Meis Yoshua Machnes. So at this point in time, Yoshua knows already, he's a Navi himself, Yoshua, and he already knows that he's going into the land. And the bracha, not to say that it doesn't mean anything, but it was unnecessary. And for, you know, for us to speculate and say that Moshe gave him the blessing would be unnecessary. And therefore, what is the greatness of Kalev? What is Ruach HaCheres Imo? The Meraglim didn't say anything that was incorrect. They saw Anokim. They saw a lot of dead bodies laying around that they were riding around, and all they saw were dead bodies. They brought back by Yomim Yamebi Kurei Anovim, Vayusohum, Bamot Mishnoim. They saw so many huge fruit, the Arim Bitsuros. All of these things that they said were true. So what are we talking about? But the Ruach HaCheres Imo means very simply that what Kalev saw and what the other Meraglim said was equal. They both saw it. The problem is that the other Meraglim, what they saw it as a stumbling block. They treated it as if it's something that God would not be able to overcome. Kalev is able to look at the same things that they do and realize and take it in a whole nother vein. And Kalev is able to look at it and say, oh my God, look what all the things that we have to overcome. But you know what? God is on our side. And there is absolutely nothing that God can't do. It's how we perceive what we see. Are we able to overcome the stumbling blocks, or are we going to let it get us down? They've been through so many things. How much more do you think you could, after all these people have experienced Matan Torah, have experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, and have experienced the Ten Makos, the Mun, the water coming from a rock? So what do they think? That God can't do these few minor stumbling blocks compared to what they've seen till now. And this is what Kalev understands, and this is what God says immediately. Ruach HaCheres Imo. He is different from the other people. He saw clearly. Yeshua didn't have to say anything. But then why did the Meraglim deserve, not they, but why did the other people deserve to perish in the Midbar? Very simply, what does it say after Vayaz Kalev Elohim? And he said, Alo Nale, that we will be able to go up. This is not a stumbling block. It says, Vayomru Kol Hueda Lirgom Osombu Avonim. That is what sealed their fate. It's not that they cried, but they began to stone Kalev. Imagine they were throwing stones at him. It's incredible. And therefore, how does the parsha end? The parsha ends with the mitzvah of tzitzit. And when it says, Lo sosuru acharei levavachem yachrei nechem, God is warning them that just like they went, Lo sura teres kanan, don't trust your eyes. Don't take your eyes and what you see and let it influence you about what you actually know deep down in your heart. You know better that God, if God is on your side, there is nothing. Is there anything that God cannot accomplish? And this is an incredible thing, and he wants us to be able to say this every day. And wear the tzitzis on your body permanently so that you remember God is above you and that he can do all of these things, that never be afraid of all the stumbling blocks that we have in our mind. And therefore we come to the next question. Well, now that they've been relegated to die in the Midbar, but there's something else that's afoot here that's very interesting. Moshe says, "Slachno lavon ha'om hazeh kegodel chasdecha v'chasher nososo la'om hazeh mimitzrayim v'yadheno v'shom ne'mar." And God answers, "Vayomer Hashem solachti kidvorecha." Well, that seems like that's forgiveness, and now they all have to perish in the Midbar. How does that work? I thought you said solachti kidvorecha. But what we have to take account is God is choosing, like I say again and again, God is choosing his words very carefully. Vayanasu osi ze esetamim. You have tested me. They have tested me 10 times. And guess what? Vayomer Hashem, and he said, Solachti, you asked me to forgive them. How many times can I forgive them? Solachti, I already forgave them time and time again. There's going to be a problem now. But what you asked me is not to kill them, and I won't. You know what, though, what I have to do? But one thing that I can't let slide, V'chol menatzai lo yiruha. All the people that are against me, all the people that don't believe I have the power to do whatever it takes, they will never get to see the land. None of them will die before their time. They will all, I will not kill them. Just the Meraglim, the rest of the people, I will not make them perish. They will live out their full lives. The problem is, that is, my calculations are, that will take at least 40 years because some of these people who are only 21 and are only going to live till 60, or the people who are 40 and going to live to 80, they will live their entire life. But unfortunately, they will not get to see the land of Israel. V'chol menatzai lo yiruha. They will live out their full life, but it will have to be in the Midbar. And that is what God is saying. I forgive them, but, and I will not kid you, when Moshe says, you're going to kill them like you kill one person. You can't kill 600,000 people suddenly, and God says, I won't. Solachti, I will not kill them. But unfortunately, the chol menatzai lo yiruha, they will not get to see the land of Israel. They will live out their lives and perish in the Midbar. And that's another answer to that question, as far as that goes. The question is, again, one of the last questions is another thing. He has to deal, now the mood certainly is way down. Everybody is certainly depressed, that all these people are so depressed, which will bring us to Korach next week. But what we have this week is God is faced with the younger people. Are they losing heart that they're going to go into the land? Maybe the people, after they've been told that the people over 20 will perish in the Midbar, what is their assurance that they will go into the land? Well, one of the things is, God says, V'chol menatzai lo yiruha, that's to keep them on the up and up. But God realizes there's one thing, there's only one way that I could assure them and give them that hope and reestablish that belief that they will go into the land, is give them all of these karbonos that I'm telling them now. This is your future. When I give you halachas, I give you chiyuvim, I'm giving you things that you will have to do upon entering the land. If I didn't plan to let you enter the land, I would never say it to you now. There would be no point if I'm going to kill you here, if it's only something that you're going to have to do once you enter the land. And that's why God sticks in these karbonos immediately after the story is over, of the God finishes giving his speech about the Chet HaMeraglim, and he gives everybody their sentence. He says, now it's time to tell your next generation all of the laws that they will have to perform once they get into Eretz Israel. There are karbonos that they will have to observe and do it. And they realize that the next generation is going to go. And God is saying to Moshe, I promised to take them out of Mitzrayim, these people. I didn't promise to bring them into the land. We bring the four kosos, the fifth kos is Shel Elio. It's for those who observe all the mitzvos, the Lokachti, and the others that we have, the four Lashonos Hagula, the Hevesi, is on the table. We have it every year. We will bring it provided we deserve. And God is warning these people again. But if you slip up, the people who are even lower than 20, if they do what their fathers did, once again, they will not go in. And of course, we see that in the next few parshas. We don't know how old the people were that perished, but could be some of those were even the younger people. We're not sure. We don't know. But that is what we have. Now, Moshe says something that he's used, an excuse that he's used a few times, which is very interesting. And he says, "Wallama Yomru Mitzrayim, what are all the people of the world going to say that you took them out of Mitzrayim, but you weren't able to take them into the land?" He's trying to blackmail God and to make him think. And God says to him, not who do you think you're talking to, but God says, I understand. But you know what? Od kol yemei ha'aretz, it says in Noah after the flood, God says, Od kol yemei ha'aretz, the world is going to be around for a long time. I have plenty of time to recover, to rehabilitate my image, and that the world will eventually know one day that I am the all-powerful, the omnipotent God that rules everything in this world. I will recover some lost status in the world. We've been through so many generations where God is dead, God is not dead, this intelligent design, people don't want to admit God. God says, I don't really care. Ma'ich pasli. Let the world think what they do, because the end result is I will be here forever. And when the time comes, everybody will come. Moshe, you can't blackmail me anymore with saying, Lama Yomru Mitzrayim, Bara'ah, Tziyom Laharogo, Som Beharim, as he does after the Egel. And over here, what are all the Goyim going to say? So let them talk. I don't care. It's beyond me, because there comes a time when Nismale Hasor, and this has come the time that anybody who doesn't believe that I can take them into the land, their time is up. And these, I believe, answers so many of the questions in the parasha. If there are any comments, of course, I welcome them. And just as I've had so many questions through the years, I like new questions. It gives me something to do to solve. May we rise above the Chet HaMeraglim. May we realize that there is nothing that God can't do. All we have to do is believe. Afilu cherev chod emunachas al tzavoro. You don't give up hope. And Kalev was Ruach HaCheres Imo. He was different than all the other people, because he had no help. We like to say that he went to the Kever Avos, but the reality is he saw things in a different light. Everything that he saw was the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true, there are giants here. Wow, this is unbelievable. You take it and accentuate the positive, not the negative. I see all these crazy things. There are dead people lying all over the world, but God was doing it so that they don't take notice of 12 Meraglim who are gadding about the land. They were certainly at this point in time, they've heard the Jews have left and everybody is already, Amalek had attacked them previously, and now other nations are always scouting and seeing. And Kalev understands this. But he realizes that if God says that he's going to take us into the land, there is no problem. You think there's a problem, but I see it differently. This only increases my appreciation of the godless, of the greatness, of the all-powerful, all-knowing God that has brought us here for the ultimate redemption and bringing us into the land. Our test is to firmly ensconce our belief system in that point of view that we have the land today in Eretz Yisrael. It's not for us to deserve the land. It's at this point in time our chiyuv, our responsibility to be able to hold on to the land and keep the land. And the way we do it is to reaffirm our belief and our firm belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a good evening. Thank you.